Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Mysterious Headlines. Today, we're going to be talking about another missing person case, and this is a very tragic case. This is the case of Summer Wells. She is a 5-year-old girl that went missing in rural Tennessee on June 15th of 2021. So it has been several months now that she has been missing, and there are still not a lot of answers. Now, we know that the family lives in rural Tennessee, in a rural area where they have, you know, room between the houses. And in photos and videos of their house, you can see that their house is kind of on the edge of a little piece of land. And then they have a circular driveway that goes around with the house on the edge of that circle. And they have a swing in the front. They have an RV in the front of their house in their driveway. That is where the grandma stays. And then it is a multi-story house, and there is a basement with an outside door that goes in and out from the basement, and it is a very rural area, so there's space in between houses, and there's woods right behind their house as well. So that all kind of plays into this story. Now, we know that the mom, Candace, she came forward like immediately. I mean, she was the one that reported her missing, and she came forth immediately and told her story and told, you know, what she knew as of June 15th. And she explained that she had been out with her daughter and her mom, the grandma. They had been out at the store. They had come back home from doing some shopping, and Candace and her daughter Summer, they were out front doing some gardening and planting some flowers in the yard. And she said they did that for about an hour, and then Summer had finished helping her. She went over to the RV where the grandma stays and got a piece of candy from her grandma, and then she said to her mom, "I'm going to go back in the house." Now, Summer's 5 years old, so a little bit younger. So she said, Candace said she walked Summer about halfway from the RV to the front door. She didn't walk her all the way to the front door, walked her like halfway to the house. And they also have 3 boys. And they, she said she walked her halfway to the house, and Summer went inside and she yelled to the boys, to her brothers, "Hey, keep an eye on Summer." And then she went back to the RV where her mom was to help her with something. She said she was there maybe 2 minutes helping her mom with something, and then she went back into the house. And when she got back into the house, the boys, the older brothers of Summer, said, "Oh, Summer's downstairs in the basement playing with her toys." And so she said at first, the mom called for her and said, "Hey, Summer," and didn't hear her. So then she went downstairs, and she said she looked everywhere. She looked under the covers of the bunk beds. She looked behind the bunk beds to see if she had been hiding somewhere. Could not find her anywhere in the basement. So then she said she went back upstairs and said to the boys, "Hey, Summer's not down there." And as I mentioned, there is an outside door to the basement. And she said that, you know, Summer would sometimes go out the basement door, but then she would circle around at the front of the house where the swing was, and she would swing out front. But she would never just like go out the basement door and just wander. And so she immediately like started freaking out. She called her husband, Don, who was at work, and said, "Hey, Summer's missing." And he immediately said, "Well, then hang up and call 911. So she hung up, she called 911 and told them, you know, "Hey, my daughter's missing." And by the time law enforcement got there, she and the boys were already searching. They were searching in the woods behind the house. They already had neighbors out that were searching. The police department came, and they kind of did like a general search of the woods behind, of the neighborhood, of the area. Again, this is a rural area, so the houses are not right next to each other. So there's, you know, there's space, there's nature areas. And so they kind of combed through all of that space. They brought out scented dogs, and the dogs did catch a scent going in a certain direction from their house into the woods. And so they ran that trail, but did not find anything. They did not find any evidence of her or anything at all. Now, immediately people online and on social media were immediately bashing the family, saying their story doesn't add up. How could she have gone missing in a matter of a couple minutes? It doesn't make sense. And a lot of people immediately accusing the parents that they did something. Now, we know that in a large percentage, I want to say it's like 90 or 91% of cases where someone has gone missing, 90% of the time, it's someone they live with. If a wife goes missing, they're immediately going to look to the husband or the spouse, because in most cases, they know something or they did something. If it's a husband that goes missing, they're usually going to look at the wife. If it's a kid that goes missing, they're going to start by looking at the parents, because most of the time when someone goes missing, it's by someone that they know and that they live with. And so that is law enforcement's job. They immediately go to the parents. They immediately question the parents. Tell us what you know. Tell us your story. And they try and determine if they think the parents have had anything to do with it. Now, we've seen cases, certainly, where people have fooled law enforcement for a certain period of time. We heard that in the Chris Watts case. If you remember that, that was all over the media where he was pleading, my wife's missing, my kids are missing. He was pleading to the media. And then a few days later, we find out that he actually killed his wife and his kids. But he fooled law enforcement and the general public for a short period of time in believing that they were really legitimately missing. And so police and law enforcement always go to the people that they live with, because chances are those people know something or did something. So I think that's why the general public immediately thought they did something. They immediately did something. And we hear of so many cases where that is the case, where the parents did something to the kids and they killed them, or they did something horrible to the kids. So that was people's immediate reaction. And if the parents didn't do anything, then that is really difficult for them to have all these threats thrown at them of, you did something, you killed your kids, how could you? And at the time, you know, when people were making all those threats, there was just not enough information for those threats to be credible. But that's what people were saying. Now, we've gotten a little bit more information since then, but still not enough to fill in the holes. We do know that the three boys were taken out of the parents' house by CPS, which immediately throws up red flags, and you think, well, then they did something to her. If they're taking the boys out of the house, they did something to her. Now, we found out, the dad explained that in all of this happening, since June 15th when she went missing, it has been so hard on him. And then especially receiving all these threats from people of, you did something, how could you, you monster, tell everybody what you know. All these kind of really terrible things have been said to him. And so, and the wife as well, and other members of their family. And so he said he was just having such a hard time coping and dealing with things. And he turned to drinking and started heavily drinking alcohol. And in doing that, in heavily drinking alcohol and turning to that, he had a couple spouts of rage. And that is why CPS took the boys. And he has admitted that he did think that the boys needed to be removed temporarily He admitted that he did think that it was unsafe, that, you know, he didn't think it was okay for him to be drinking that much and to be getting into fits of rage, and that he thought it was appropriate. But he has now said he thinks him and his wife should be able to get the boys back, that he has done many things to change. He has, you know, I think he's going to like AA meetings and he's, you know, sober and going through a variety of steps. And same with the wife too. I think the wife has had to complete some things. And one thing that was also brought up was the living conditions. Now, if you look at photos and videos of this house, again, it's a rural area. So rural houses are different than suburban houses or city houses. Obviously, you know, city houses, suburban houses are a lot closer together, and there's HOA associations and city associations that require certain upkeep of houses. They require landscaping to be done. They require, you know, things to be painted and things not to be going astray. But in a rural area, in a small town in a rural area, there are not HOA associations that are telling homeowners what they need to do. And so I just want to point that out in general, that if you live in a rural area in a small town, houses in the rural areas are eclectic and different. So I just want to preface it with that. But in the videos and photos I've seen, their house definitely looks a little messy. It looks a little cluttered. Things are not super well kept. And CPS did say they had certain things they needed to do within their house in order to get the boys back. But they have recently said that they think they could do those things in short order. And then they hope to be able to have their boys back living with them. Now, they recently were on Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil, he had some body language experts and interrogator experts interview them, and then they kind of went back through the footage and brought up points of significance during the interview. And it was really interesting at one point because they brought up these experts that were interviewing the parents. They brought up, or they asked the question of, do you think her disappearance has anything to do with the Corn Maze Mafia? Which the Corn Maze Mafia is a slang term, a nickname term for a mafia group that lives and resides in Tennessee. And they brought this up asking if the parents thought they had anything to do with it. And the mom immediately breaks down and starts crying in the video. And she gets so upset that she says, take this off of me. And she starts reaching for the microphone to take it off and says, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And then the husband is trying to console her, saying all they want to do is help. What they want to do is help us. That's all they want to do. And she says, well, it's not helping me. She doesn't say it's not helping Summer, or it's not helping the family. She says, it's not helping me. And she gets so upset that she leaves the interview early. And this was of note. And some of those things, offhand, you might say, oh, well, then that means that maybe she has more information than she's telling. If she doesn't want to talk about it anymore, if she says it's not helping her, you know, maybe that means she has more information. But Dr. Phil came right out and said he does not believe that the mom or the dad have anything to do with her disappearance. He doesn't think they've killed her. He doesn't think they've harmed or hurt her, which is different than what all of these other people in the public think. And so it was interesting to hear Dr. Phil say that. Now, he did ask them more about the timeline and about kind of what happened and more about the story, and the mom, Candace, kind of repeated what she's already said to the public of the timeline. And so they didn't really have anything new to share, but they kind of repeated what they've already told the public. And they said, we think she's been abducted. We think she's been taken. And we think somebody has her. Now, It is interesting that this all happened in just a couple minute window period. And I think that's what originally had people puzzled. Like, no, the parents did something. Their story doesn't line up. They're lying. They're not telling us everything. Because how could something like this happen within a couple minute period? But you think if there was someone that really wanted to abduct a child, which I hate to think about this, it's horrible to think about, but if there was a child or someone that really wanted to abduct a child, they are probably going to get familiar with their surroundings. They're going to get familiar with where that child lives. They're maybe going to follow that child for a little bit, follow them to school, follow them around. They're going to see where they live. They're going to kind of scope out the house. Maybe at night in the dark when no one's home or when people are sleeping or when people are gone and no one's home, they're maybe going to scope out, hey, okay, I know that this is where a child lives. I got to get familiar with, you know, with where they live and what's kind of normal for them. What are normal patterns? And so when a child abductor does take a child, they've already planned ahead. They know where they're going to go. They know what they're going to do. They know their method that they're going to use. Because you can't think on the fly in that kind of situation. Because that's when you get caught. So if she was abducted, which we don't have confirmation that she was, but that's what the parents think happened. And if she was abducted, then that person had scoped out the house. They had seen, oh, maybe she likes to go play in the basement. Oh, and there's that door right there. So, she'll come out that door and then we'll get her. And we'll run into the woods and we'll do X, Y, and Z. They've probably figured that out ahead of time. And so as hard as that is to think about and as sad as that is probably part of, you know, what could have happened if she was abducted. But we don't know. There's still so many questions. Was she abducted? Who would have abducted her? Where could she be? And, you know, the sad thing is abductions are actually far more common than we think and than we realize. And abductions are hard because the people that do abductions are skilled. They're masterful. And so being able to find and locate the children is really difficult. It's very difficult. And so right now they're just trying to keep spreading the word about her, sharing her picture so people know what she looks like and know what to look for. Because if it really was an abduction situation, then it's possible that you could see her face in a window, that you could see her face through a door, just a glimpse through a house of her. And so it's important that we share the information we do have, so that anybody and everybody can be on the alert, can be on the lookout for what they know, and what to look for. I'd love to know your thoughts on this case. You can always tweet me at MYS Headlines using hashtag Mysterious Headlines. Let me know what you think. Again, this is another very bizarre case. And we don't know how long it will be before there's maybe resolution. There are abduction cases that go on for years and years and even decades. And there's no resolution found. Or eventually there's resolution, but it takes a really long time. So we will have to kind of wait and see. But very, very tragic story that 5-year-old Summer Wells is missing. Please go online, look up her picture, familiarize yourself with her face so you can see her, so you can recognize her face. Now, yes, she was from Tennessee, but at this point, she could be anywhere. So if you familiarize yourself with her face, she also had a very short haircut, which is kind of a stark contrast to what you might think. And so if you can look at her picture, recognize or familiarize yourself with it, so you might be able to recognize specifics. And then if you ever were to come across her or to see her face in a window or anything, then obviously call the FBI immediately and let them know. As always, thank you for listening. We will be chatting again soon about more mysterious headlines.